This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark and Wang Shanning. It's 8:37 in the morning, Thursday the 9th of April, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Queen Mary University of London, on the UK and how it's responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, speaking of COVID-19, we're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, because as COVID-19 takes its toll on businesses, should the pandemic be considered a reason for relief from contractual obligations? Let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results of this later on in the morning. But now, let's take a look at the markets.
Well, if we look at the US, they had a very good day. So the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 closed up 3.4%, while the Nasdaq closed up 2.6%. And let's look at Asian markets, which have opened. So the Nikkei 225 in Japan is actually down, negative 0.11%. Kospi is up 1.57%, while the S&P Australian Index is actually up 1.15%. So Asia started on quite a positive note so far, but let's see when Bursa opens at 9 a.m.
So this morning, for some insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Thank you for joining us, Vishnu. Now, the Reserve Bank of Australia has been buying large quantities of government bonds. What is the central bank's strategy behind this?
I think they adopted what the BOJ uses, the YCC, which is yield curve control. And specifically, the RBA is looking to hold down its three-year bond yields at 0.25%. And to do so, the RBA has made it quite explicit that they can buy unlimited amounts and along the yield curve, they can buy any bond to achieve their ends. And I think that really boosted markets. And initially, it also knocked back the Aussie quite a bit. But at the last RBA meeting, they floated up the idea that if yield curve stabilizes about where it is, they could look at buying a reduced amount of bonds. And this has led to thoughts about so-called taper, and this is why the Aussie is rising slightly higher now. And to think about it, YCC is no different to quantitative easing, QE. Quantitative easing targets an amount to buy. YCC targets a price. So they buy however much to reach the price of, and the price is suggested by the yield.
And Vishnu, let's look at Japan, because the Japan's machinery orders rose in February, suggesting somewhat of resilience in their business investment. Does this indicate that the economy is less badly hit compared to other Asian countries, or are worse numbers going to happen in the next few months?
I like how you gave me the second option there. we do hope that it doesn't get too bad. But one way to frame this is to say that these numbers came out before the Olympics were deferred. And so I think businesses might have very different plans. And also to some extent, being February numbers, they are also before the worst of COVID hit. Whereas we saw the Economy Watchers survey, which is a bit more forward-looking, that it came out yesterday, it was too small. So they did expect it to fall, and it felt even harder. So I think this is suggestive, or at least it suggests that the outlook is more bleak than it is upbeat.
So Vishnu, gold has traditionally been seen as a safe haven in times of crisis. In light of large-scale quantitative easing by central banks, what is your outlook for this commodity?
So you stop short of putting the answer in my mouth. And given that all the central banks are in it together, and many of them are lifting their barriers from earlier, so they're really throwing caution to the wind. We've got what we've decided to be QE infinity from the Fed. And so with all this ramp up, what was going to happen is you're going to get debasement fears that all these currencies will be worth less. And so markets will start looking for a hard asset to park in. I'm not suggesting gold is the only option, but gold becomes a very obvious option. The only warning I want to put out there is because the pandemic risk is a very extreme risk and one that's very difficult to follow or predict, in the extreme risk situation, gold also gets sold on very badly because at that moment, cash is king and markets want to hold cash. So we cannot look at gold as an unwavering safe haven. Under very stressful circumstances, it is also liquidated.
And Vishnu, let's look at some of our ASEAN neighbours, right, starting with Thailand, because their economy is expected to be one of the region's most badly affected. Now, what measures can they take to mitigate a severe recession? Because they did announce a stimulus package earlier this week, right?
Right. I think all the ASEAN economies, the fundamentals of trying to soften the blow, I don't think any of us can avoid a recession. But the fundamentals of softening the blow really is about putting in place a circuit breaker between what starts off as a revenue shock and a cash flow shock, and what can then turn out to be a credit crisis and a solvency crisis. And that's the way to preserve jobs and to keep firms afloat. What makes it trickier for Thailand is that there's also a huge reliance on tourism, and that is a much more dispersed sector, including some more informal aspects of it. So I think this is what makes it very tricky. They're trying to hand out as much cash relief as possible, trying to give cash flow waivers, deferment, so on and so forth. The two big ways to structure it is to defer payments that businesses can make, and the other one is to give an outright subsidy, whether it be in cash or in terms of credit. But the access to cash to keep businesses afloat remains the most fundamental business survival, second only to the healthcare focus.
And Vishnu, credit spreads are widening over in Indonesia, but there is still demand for their government bonds. Might this be a sign that investors are regaining their risk appetite?
I think you're right. I mean, in the last few days, we have seen markets looking somewhat more upbeat, sometimes even a little too upbeat. So I think there is a repositioning of risk assets. And also, we want to bear in mind certain external factors happening, for example, the IMF and or the World Bank, readying, cash to give to many economies, which may include Indonesia, India, so on and so forth. So I think that then veers a lot of, investments into the government space, because they see it as a slightly safer space where there's a reduced default risk, especially if there's a supranational backing it.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy over at Mizuho Bank. Now, that look at kind of all of the, a number of our neighbouring economies here in Asia really just underscores that the fact that this COVID-19 pandemic is really depressing a lot of the economies around the world, and particularly in our region. And Hong Kong has also just recently taken the move to announce a fresh stimulus package worth about 137 billion Hong Kong dollars, or 17.7 billion US. This is to support the city's deteriorating economy, and it almost doubles Hong Kong's projected budget deficit for the 2020 to 2021 fiscal year to 277 billion Hong Kong dollars.
This is about 9.5% of Hong Kong's GDP. Now, due to these relief measures, Hong Kong's reserves are expected to drop to as low as Hong Kong 800 billion, which is equivalent to about 14 to 15 months of government spending. Now, key highlights of the package includes 80 billion Hong Kong dollars for job security programs, subsidizing 50% of wages for affected workers for up to 6 months. Now, 21 billion Hong Kong dollars for a dozen measures across various targeted sectors, including aviation and tourism industry. And also up to 30,000 jobs will be created, including civil service positions and internships. Now, tenants of government properties will also have a 75% reduction in rent.
So registration fees for medical workers will be waived, and the government is also to ask their transit operator, MTR Corp, to cut fares by 20% for up to 6 months. Now, we're about to head into some messages, and then up next, we'll be speaking with Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Queen Mary University of London, for a look at the UK and how it is responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.